The Prime Minister Tony Abbott has warned terror attacks like the beheading of James Foley in Iraq earlier this week could become a reality in Australia. In a dramatic escalation of the rhetoric supporting his anti-terror legislation, he says Western countries need to be vigilant against the potential for homegrown terrorism.
This is not just something that happens elsewhere. It could happen in countries like Australia if we relax our vigilance against terrorism and potential terrorism here on our shores.
That's the Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Earlier this week, he met with Muslim leaders to try to win over their support for his government's anti-terror legislation. Silma Iram from the Muslim Women's Association was there, and she joins me now. Welcome to AM.
Good morning, Michael.
What do you make of Tony Abbott's warnings that beheadings at the hands of terrorists like the one we saw earlier this week in Iraq could be possible in Australia?
I think it's very unfortunate. He's wanting to win over the Muslim community, but we haven't seen in detail what he's actually proposing. He did consult with us, but it was a bit of a difficult consultation without knowing what he's actually proposing, so we were not able to actually address it. And to escalate it by indicating that people in Australia might react the same way as somebody in a war zone who's aiming for a ransom and sending a message to the US, a very strong message to the US to stop bombing them. Well, it's a very different situation. And to draw comparisons between Muslims in Australia with a war zone is very unfortunate, I think.
You attended the meeting with the Prime Minister and the community leaders this week to discuss the terror laws. The Prime Minister says Muslim leaders who boycotted those talks were rather foolish. Do you agree?
No, I believe that those who boycotted the talks have their own opinion. They were concerned that the talks were not going to be constructive and they could be used as an indication of rubber stamping of the laws, which we have not yet seen. To a certain extent, a lot of the Muslim community shares those concerns that the consultation hasn't really been as effective as we would like it to be. So we've got differing opinions, and that's one of the good things about living in Australia, that you can have differing opinions.
You were also a signatory to a statement that essentially denouncing the anti-terror law proposals. What's wrong with them?
Well, the way they've been presented to us, and again, we haven't seen much detail, it doesn't seem particularly workable. The other issue is that the rhetoric around the introduction of these laws does seem to be focusing on the Muslim community and the Australian Muslim community, which is not helping very much in ensuring that they're broadly accepted across the and they are limiting civil liberties, which affects not just Muslims but everybody. So, in terms of practicality, to prove that you are not going to a war zone, not going to engage in terrorist activity before you leave the country, is a very difficult thing to do. And from our point of view, it can be easily subverted. So we don't see that it's practical. We don't see that the rhetoric around it at the moment is conducive to having it accepted by the community.
Well, you have been part of the meetings, as I say. How would you advise that we tackle the problem of potential terrorism here in Australia, particularly radicals from the Muslim community?
Well, we do have a lot of programs that are already running to reduce and to diminish any indication of radicalisation. There are a number of programs that need more support. We don't have enough chaplains in prisons that represent the Muslim faith. We don't have enough training for those who are mentoring the Muslim community. There's a lot of things that we believe that we can bring to the table which are more constructive and preventative rather than punitive.
The Prime Minister again last night stressed that extremism is the enemy, not Islam. But do you feel part of what he calls Team Australia?
Look, all of us feel very strongly that we are Australian, that this is our home. Team Australia is a very loaded term. In theory, yes, of course, we're all part of the team that we want to ensure this is a safe and secure country. But it depends how the term is used. His reference to migrants coming here isn't helpful because most of the Australian, the Muslim community here are Australian born or have been here for most of their lives. So it depends on how the rhetoric is used. So terms are great, but you need to clarify what you actually mean by the term.
And how is all this impacting in the Muslim community?
Well, we're certainly the flavour of the month again. The Muslim community wants to we want to be seen as Australians who are sincere. We want to make sure that the government is also sincere in how it tackles these issues and not sees us as the other. This is the difficulty, and this is where marginalisation, isolation and the seeds of extremism can breed, where Muslims are seen as the ones that are having the finger pointed at them rather than being those who are genuinely part of a team to resolve the issues.
So do you are you seeing this as a fight against Islam rather than a fight against the terror laws, as David Irvin, the head of ASIO, is asking the Muslim community not to make that mistake?
I don't think that the Muslim community sees, majority of them anyway, who are educated, would see that this is an attack on Islam per se. However, there is a lot of confusion in what is presented by Islam because of what we see overseas. And this is troubling for everybody. Your average person who picks up the media will see the name of Islam over some horrific crimes that are nothing to do with Islam and are absolutely condemning Islam. So this is a common problem, and it's not just caused by the government, but by what's happening overseas, unfortunately.
Okay, Sulma Irfan, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Michael.